Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello and welcome, you amazing humans. And hello to everyone in the live chat. John, Anna, PJ, Case for Infinity, the guy with the super long name, Blackfoot, Sofa. Hi, everyone. Good to see all of you. And welcome to another episode of Mysteries with a History, where I'll take you on a wild ride into the unknown, the strange, and the mysterious. Like you, I have questions, and like you, I want answers, not just about UFOs, but about all the mysteries that are on the fringe of everyday existence. I'm an explorer, just like you, looking for clues, trying to find connections between these bizarre phenomena that have quite literally been plaguing humanity in one form or another since the beginning of recorded history, and in many cases, beyond. Okay, so tonight, we're going to take a trip into the twilight realm of creature sightings and encounters that fall under the umbrella of a topic that has become more of an urban myth as the years have gone by. We've heard of this phrase that the eyes are the gateway to the soul, right? I mean, when you hold a conversation with someone, you want to look at their eyes, see where their eyes are going, see if they're interested. And when you love someone, you look into their eyes and you can see their love for you. So imagine staring into the eyes that are black with no other characteristics. When we talk to someone, like I said, we go straight for the eyes. So those black eyes wouldn't be familiar with such a condition. You wouldn't know where they're looking. You don't know if they're looking at you, if they're looking somewhere else, if they're like eyeballing you to do something. We don't know. Their eyes are completely black. So imagine the fear you would feel. You couldn't read the person. You can't see their intentions. And just, you would have that idea that there's something, it's like something really dark about them, some kind of evil, dark entity in them. Because we know, aside from black-eyed kids, when we read books or when we see movies, black eyes usually lead to possession or something kind of demonic. So when you see that on a person, that's kind of where your mind goes. You're like, oh my gosh, this person, got to stay really, really far away from them. According to many who claim who have been abducted, the aliens involved have large almond-shaped black eyes. And if you listen into the last show on alien abductions, you'll remember that some of those witnesses alleged they had reproductive processes, right? Processes conducted on them, resulting in what could only be described as like a fetal human alien hybrid. See where I'm going with this? Interestingly, some researchers have shared their thought over the years regarding the alleged alien creatures known as the Greys having large black eyes as a result of evolution on a world orbiting a red dwarf star, a planet that has dark nights and red twilight days. So in essence, they could be nocturnal inclined compared to humans, which also makes it interesting that the accounts of the black-eyed kids usually occur at night. Yes, there are one or two cases where they do occur in the daytime, but it's a lot more rare than at night. So there are so many stories or theories of what these things are. But overall, who are they? What are these black-eyed entities? Some commentators think that they are demons taking human form in order to steal someone's life force or their very soul. Others who do more occult research have given a hypothesis that they are vampires, again, either seeking life force energy or blood, as in the classical fiction type of vampire entities, which is a possibility, which is a complete possibility. There are so many others, but in short, we don't know what they are. There are so many things of what they could be. They have some demonic traits. They have vampire traits. Some of you think they have kind of like alien or alien humanoid traits. To many of the accounts of these, thinking of what these creatures might be, but very little in the way of direct evidence to support any of these theories. So these are all just theories. No one, to my knowledge, no one has captured one and done research on them. So right now, they can only theorize on what they could be. But even this topic is mainly anecdotal in nature. What do these black-eyed kids look like? In this topic of entities with black eyes, the majority of cases involve children with black eyes as opposed to adults. So you do have black-eyed kids, but you also have some black-eyed adults that aren't necessarily as common. In almost every single case, it will be one or more children in an age range spanning between 8 to 11 years old that either ask for a ride home if someone encounters them while in their vehicle, or encountered knocking on the front door of a residence asking to be allowed to enter their home. And this is where it goes to the vampire characteristic. They're not allowed to enter your house or your car or wherever you are without permission. They are not allowed to enter anywhere without your consent. It's described that they often have no shoes. That doesn't mean that their feet are showing, but that they really just like, they just don't have shoes. Looking kind of dirty and shabby a lot of times in present day, wearing jeans and a hoodie. But sometimes they wear outdated clothing. And we're going to go a little bit more in depth in that with a few encounters, a few stories that I have for you to kind of give my reasoning on why they might have outdated clothes. They appear devoid of personality or emotion. And that's horrifying to begin with, because we know as humans, we're very emotional creatures. We're very the majority of us are very expressive. So when you encounter someone that has no emotion, no personality, you kind of want to back away from these guys and you're thinking, nah, they're weird. They're really weird. So if you pair that with having completely black eyes, that's horrifying. That is horrifying. And it leads to so many questions that no one really has the answers to. For those of you who haven't encountered this specific topic before or don't know too much about it, let me give you a primer based on what is one of the earliest detailed cases for modern time. Now, if you have heard the story, sit tight, buckle up, get a nice cup of tea, maybe go to the bathroom and come back, because there's going to be some really interesting stories that you probably haven't heard that are going to make you shiver a little bit. So let's jump into the very first encounter that was documented in 1996, and it involved the journalist Brian Bethel, a resident of Abilene, Texas. There are some very strange encounters throughout whole state. I mean, it's one of the biggest states in the United States. Everything's bigger in Texas, but in some cases, everything's a little bit scarier in Texas. In Bethel's report, he describes stopping in a parking lot near a movie theater to write down a check for one of his bills during the late evening. He was so absorbed into what he was doing that he didn't notice these two young boys approaching his car, which in the late evening at a movie theater, it's not necessarily common even in 1996. It wasn't until the older boy tapped on the driver's side window that he became aware of any nearby presence, and he rolled down the window to perceive a soul-wracking fear, and it just went, chills went straight down his spine, and he couldn't really understand why at first. So he didn't see these boys, he didn't see any characteristics of what they looked like, but he just knew as soon as he rolled down his window, the fear shocked him like that. He was so scared. The older boy said that his brother, are they really related? I don't know. But he said, the older boy said that his brother wanted to catch a movie but had forgotten their money at home. Could Brethel give him a ride? I don't know. That's really spooky. For one, I don't know how you can just casually forget money when you go to the theater without your parents, right? Your parents would give you money. You'd put it in your pocket and maybe you'll lose it, but you won't forget. Get it, especially kids, because they definitely want to buy candy. This money is amazing to them because they can get whatever they want without any parental supervision. So that's kind of a turnoff right there on his statement. These two boys assured him, they assured him strangely that it wouldn't take long to take him home, and they were just two innocent kids and that they didn't have any weapons. Kids, overall, don't have that kind of mentality to reassure adults, one, that they're innocent, and two, that they have weapons. Kids shouldn't have weapons to begin with, especially if you're the age between 8 through 15, 16. Of course, they can take them, right? But it's not necessarily common. And the fact that he reassured Brian that they were innocent children, that makes you question, are they really innocent? Because they stated that they were. Two, are these children really children? Because children don't make those kinds of statements. They don't. I don't know. Have any of you guys that have kids have ever made that statement? Oh, no, daddy or mom, you know, I'm innocent. I'm an innocent child. I don't have any weapons on me. That's a really scary statement from a child. So the journalist found the reassurance unnerving and noted that the last showing of the film they wanted to see had already started, and it would be nearly over by the time he would drive them home and they would come back to the movie theater with the money that they lost, right? They forgot. Later in telling this incident, right, talking about the story, he stated that when he broke eye contact with them, his fear became absolutely overwhelming to the point of panic. And it wasn't until he broke eye contact with the boy that he suddenly noticed their eyes were completely black. Okay, so let me rephrase that. When Brian was staring at this little boy's eyes, he didn't really notice him, as if he was kind of like brainwashed or hypnotized. He didn't really understand what was going on until he broke eye contact and stared at him again, where that hypnosis was broken. And he noticed that the eyes were completely black, which he should have noticed when he began talking to them from the beginning. Right? You would notice. And this is kind of similar to some alien abduction stories where these beings, and I've talked about it in a few other episodes, where these beings, if you look deep into their eyes, they kind of hypnotize you either to repress your memories, to bring some kind of calmness, or to kind of allude to anything that they want you to feel or to think. These black-eyed kids can do something somewhat similar, but it doesn't seem as strong as some alien abduction stories. Do you see that kind of connection? This is why some people believe that they are some kind of alien hybrid. It could be because of that factor. When Brian lost eye contact with them and noticed that his eyes were completely black, the older boy began to get so frustrated with Brian because he kept making excuses of not giving them a ride, saying that he couldn't take them to the house. And the kid said, "Well, we cannot enter your car unless you say it's okay, unless you give us permission." It's freaky. That is really, really freaky. These boys cannot enter his car without Brethel saying, "Yeah, you can enter it," which is the kind of the vampire trait. After that, Brethel tore out of the parking lot. He just zoomed right through it as fast as he could. He probably would have got stopped by the police with his speed, but he didn't care. He just wanted to get out of that horrifying situation. And to this day, he still sticks to his story from 1996. This man has been interviewed on quite a few outlets, and he sticks to the same story, and he says that it hasn't really brought him any fame. It hasn't really helped his career as a journalist, but he believed it to be so true. He's one of the very few people that have actually put his name out with this encounter, that he believes that it genuinely happened. So for those of you in the live chat, how familiar are you with this particular story of this kind of mystery with a history? This one is one of the most famous stories of the black-eyed children, right? One of the very first documented ones in modern times. So how many of you are actually familiar with this? I mean, have you encountered any entities like this? How many of you have even had dreams of encountering entities like this? Because we know, right? And I've talked about this in a few of these episodes, that even dreams could either be repressed memories or something more than that. Dreams are still that kind of like middle state. We don't really know what's going on. I am happy and kind of sad to say that I haven't had an encounter with a black-eyed kid. Yes, I'm happy because that's horrifying, but I'm also a little sad because it sounds kind of cool to have that encounter and then tell the story to you. But overall, I think I'd be a little scared to have this encounter. I'll make sure to lock all my doors and the windows and to run with my blanket to the bathroom or something. I only really heard about this topic, and I found out about this topic by doing research for another show recently. And then I began to dig deeper into the theme, and I found it very unnerving, like a fringe topic that could connect with so many other areas of the strange and the mysterious. And even looking at the pictures, even though they might be photoshopped, if you look on Google Images and you see the pictures of black-eyed kids, it puts shivers down your spine. It does feel a little freaky seeing these photos. Just remember, you know, while I'm reading through my notes, because I have a notes right here, if you want to ask something or comment and I'm not seeing it, please do a super chat, which will make it known to me. And it really helps support the channel, because it's difficult for me to read the chat and tell these stories and not lose my train of thought. So super chats are really, really helpful. Okay, so let's go on to the next account of an encounter with these kinds of shadowy entities. This one, okay, all the ones that I wrote are all my favorites for this one, but this one leads to a lot of good questions that we're going to go over in just a bit. This one is called Dad and His Baby Daughter. He says, one night, he was switching from listening to music and watching YouTube videos with one headphone in while the other headphone was out to be able to hear his infant daughter in case she cried, because, you know, he wants his wife to have a full night's rest because she has to wake up at 4 a.m. every single day to work at a hospital. So this dad's amazing already. So he decides to lay in the spare bed in the baby's room just to make sure that the baby is fine and sleeping properly. Just as he was beginning to doze off at around 2 a.m., he heard this thumping coming from the front porch. When he started to scan with his eyes to see what he thought it could have been, he thought it maybe it was his cat, and he's like, oh, the damn cat making all this noise, oh, whatever. And he brushes it off like it's no big deal because it's probably happened before. But then this thumping kept happening over and over again, and he's thinking, man, this cat is so annoying. I don't know what to do with this guy. So he walks from the bedroom over to the kitchen to make sure that the cat's in the house properly, and he was thinking, well, because I'm up, I might as well, you know, make some tea, check Facebook while I'm up, and finish a web series that he was watching on YouTube. Now, we know when we're watching a good series on YouTube, we'll stay up all night to finish it. So this guy has priorities. It's probably a really good show. But as he's in the kitchen making his tea, he just has this urge to look up at the kitchen window. Sometimes we just have this urge to look somewhere or to do something specifically and don't really have a reason why. As he looks out the kitchen window, he sees the top of two short statured people's head, you know, right below the window frame of the kitchen and the front porch. These people were just short enough to not see in the window, but, you know, you could just barely see the tops of their head. He heard no footsteps on the porch, and that made his stomach turn. How could these people walk over to close to the vicinity of his residence and not hear any footprints? And then the very same thud sound came. And again, he blamed it on his cat because it's probably happened more than once. Deciding it wasn't the best answer, he shut his laptop watching his web series and crept by the door back to the baby's room thinking, look, if it's the cat, I really don't care. I really don't care what it is. I'm just going to go back to the room, make sure my baby's okay, and enjoy the rest of the night. He was a bit confused. And at first, he assumed that maybe it was, you know, a low-income housing people in a low-income house from just across the street. And they could have been high, like stoned or hiding from cops, or maybe even looking for his cousin that sometimes stays at this man's house. But that did not explain the fact that these stoners were knocking on his door at 2 a.m. That's not a thing. That's not a thing in present day, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. You don't knock on people's doors at 2 a.m. But what was even creepier was that these knocks, right? So at first he heard thuds, but then these knocks were hollow and steady. They were hollow and steady knocks. It wasn't like, you know, when you usually knock on someone's door, it's pretty quick going dun, 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 right? It's like duh, 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 in a typical scary movie. And they didn't knock on his door. No, 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 no. These boys knocked on his kitchen window and the bedroom window where the baby is in unison. These windows are relatively far apart from one another. There is no way that these boys could have knocked in unison. And especially if they were stoners, that makes it even more impossible. Ah, thanks, John. He says, great work as usual, Christina. Do you think the government or the world will ever admit that a lot of the paranormal spiritual events are genuine after the main alien disclosure truth are finished with? Or do you think that would be too much? That's a good question. Would it be too much? I mean, look what happened with the 180-day report. Look what happened with that. We got absolutely nothing. What did we get? A nothing burger. So would they disclose anything more than that? I don't think so. Not anytime soon, unless something really big happens, something really life-changing happens to the whole globe, then maybe. But currently, after seeing this report, my hopes are even lower than before. And I really don't have high hopes for it. I do not have high hopes for it. The dad, after hearing these two windows knocking at the exact same time, he was pissed. The dad was so pissed. And he's like, if these stoners wake up my daughter, I'm going to, and he quotes, kick these idiots' asses. Because we know, as people, those that may have children such as John, putting your babies to sleep is incredibly difficult. It's probably one of the hardest jobs you'll ever encounter compared to any other hard job out in the field. Putting your babies to bed is probably one of the hardest. So John does not want to wake up his daughter, does not want to wake up his wife, right? Because the wife has to wake up at 4 a.m. to work at the hospital. And as the saying goes, a happy wife is a happy life. And if you wake up the wife, she ain't going to be happy. So this dad has his priorities straight. And he says, I'm just going to beat up these kids, metaphorically, not actually, just kind of scare them off so that everyone can sleep. It's 2 a.m. So he swings the door open, the front porch, and he says, it happened then. Standing there looking up at me were two 10 or 11-year-old boys. The feelings of dread and the smell of mold almost made me vomit. And the smaller of the two then spoke, may we use your telegraph? Huh? I just stared blankly at these boys, horrified of what I then realized. Their eyes were pitch black. He asked again to use the telegraph. As I mentioned in the very beginning of this live cast, is sometimes these black-eyed kids will wear outdated clothing. In this case, these boys are wearing present-day clothing, but their language is outdated. That leads to a lot of questions for me. No one's used the word telegraph in decades, in a very, very long time. If they really were kids, they wouldn't use that kind of language. They wouldn't even know what that means at the age of 10 or 11. So that leads me to the question, could they be time travelers? Because sometimes they wear outdated clothing and their language is bizarre. Or another question could be, what if maybe they only feed, right, on fear, on blood, whatever you think that black-eyed kids might feed on, and then hibernate for a decade or a century? These are possibilities, because the language and the clothing are just kind of stand out. Tim, thank you so much. He said, yeah, weird stuff happening in many places. Christina sent you an email last night. If I didn't see it, I'll take a look at it and I will email you right back. Thank you so much. Do you guys think that's a plausible explanation, that maybe these black-eyed kids could be time travelers, or maybe they just hibernate for long periods of time? I haven't read it anywhere while doing this kind of research, but if you guys think it's possible, I definitely want to know if it's possible. Later, the dad, you know, trying to process what these boys are saying, there was no sound that he could hear of crickets chirping, no dogs barking, no cars driving, absolutely no sound. The dad, being cool, he tried to play it off and ignore the fact that these kids didn't use the word telephone or phone or even cell. Anything that would have made any sense of the situation, he just calmly replied, I don't have any service at my house. Which is a complete lie. John says, I don't have a wife, but if that happened to me and scared my daughter, I would physically go after those black-eyed boys while saying out loud my belief and faith in God at the same time. I haven't heard any stories, and maybe people that know about this topic really well maybe could drop down a link of any situations where someone has encountered a black-eyed child or a black-eyed adult and prayed and see what happened. I have not read any of those, but that would be really interesting if that does work with these kinds of entities. The dad says, I don't have any service at my house. The fact that he has YouTube shows that it's present day and we all have service at our house. The expression on their face, on the boys' face, turned to rage as the dad finished his sentence. Swiftly and smartly, he shut the door and locked it as quickly as he could, then stumbled back to the bedroom where his daughter was and tried to protect him. We know through instinct of humans and through animals, whenever you feel threatened, in fear, or in danger, you're going to go straight to your children and protect them at all costs. And you can tell just from that action that he runs to his daughter's bedroom shows that he is horrified, that he is very, very scared, because these boys have black eyes, trying to wake up his daughter, use the word telegraph, but also became incredibly angry when he told these boys no. He says he picks up his daughter from the crib and held her super close, but the fact that she didn't wake up freaked him out, because all of these noises, all of this thing that was going on, it should have woken up the baby, but it didn't. He goes to check to see if the baby is still breathing, is still warm. She was okay. Everything was fine. Nothing happened to her. But that's pretty scary to even have that thought that something could go wrong with your daughter. It's scary. These little boys did not give up. They kept knocking on the windows. They just kept knocking on the windows. The dad, still horrified, drops to the floor very close to the wall and holds his daughter super tight and starts crying like a child. He felt helpless and afraid. he lied there for a few hours, just crying. And then his wife's alarm's clock goes off. The knocking stops. And that's it. The mother says, "What's wrong with you?" And the only thing that he could mutter out was saying, I just had a bad dream." "Oh, okay. Well, give me back the baby so I can feed her before work." And the dad hands back over the baby, and it was back to being a completely normal day. But he was still terrified. But then it led him to the question. It led him to the question that as soon as the alarm went off, the knocking stopped, the boys disappeared. And he says, "I think I know the answer to why everything stopped. I was aware of the black-eyed kids, and she wasn't. Every story I've ever read about them is from someone who already knows about them. Maybe, just maybe, the knowledge of them existing is the only reason they visit." How about that, though? That maybe we have some sort of primordial ability to bring these things to appear in our realm simply by having knowledge of them. That's kind of like there's a few books of if you have the intention, you can make it appear. Is that the same with these black-eyed kids? So if anyone here gets to meet these things, either try to catch them if you're brave enough, because we know that it entices a lot of fear in you, or at least take a few pictures before running the hell out of there, and then make sure to come back to me and tell me how it went, because of course I want to know. We're gonna keep going with these incredible stories, but now that you guys know about the black-eyed kids, maybe you're next. Dun dun dun. This next story is a more where a woman meets this entity next to her. This one's pretty freaky. It's called The Story with the Elevator. This is how it starts. She says, "I found that to my surprise that a few people have had similar experiences regarding people with pitch black eyes. Unlike some, though, I didn't really feel a sense of dread or a feeling that I was about to die or anything. I felt more awareness and discomfort. Like when you see someone advance angrily toward you, and when they walk right past you, you just kind of feel that sensation, you feel that discomfort. That is how this woman felt when she encountered a black-eyed being. So that leads to the question, maybe it's not black-eyed kid exactly, because it's such an umbrella topic, but it could be so many other entities that we simply aren't aware of currently. So this took place September 2nd, 2000. And she says that one of her roles as an executive is you sometimes have to work really, really late nights in the office. So she's on the fifth floor, and it was coming to 12 a.m. in the morning. I was the only employee, right? She was the only employee. And as far as she knew, the first five floors apart from a fellow banker and the security officer, it was just her. So only three people maybe in the entire building at 12 a.m. She gets into the elevator, right? Ready to go home. I'd be exhausted too at this time. And the elevator stops at the second floor, and it comes to a tall man with more or less a black crew cut. The first thing that came to her mouth, right, when this man entered, was asking, "Who gave you permission to be here at this time?" But when she looks up at this man to ask him this question, his eyes are completely black. The pupils, everything black. She remembers not really being spooked out by the eyes because she said, to be honest, I thought maybe it was just a disability to his eyes, which is very considerate. That's a very considerate thought, thinking that, no, it's kind of maybe somewhat normal. There could be a medical explanation for it. But she didn't really feel any kind of dread like many others that encounter black-eyed beings might feel. So the elevator begins to slowly go down back on its route to the first floor. And he asked the woman where she was going. And she simply said, home, right? It's 12 a.m. I'm ready to go home. He then asked why. That's weird. That's a weird question. And she laughed and she said, I just want to go home and sleep with my wife. The man then muttered very softly and he says, it must be nice to have a home. It's kind of a depressing little statement right there. And so then the woman says, I was just assuming that he was being friendly and maybe he must be renting and not actually owning a home. But then when they get to the ground floor, she realized that he hadn't pushed the button to where he needed to go. And so she asked, where are you going? To which he replied rather angrily, looking at me with his creepy eyes. And he says, nowhere. Well, why are you on the elevator then? Why are you in the elevator? She says, now that was the freaky part. And it gets freakier. Once she gets into the parking lot, she gets into her car and she starts driving down the street. All the lights were out. This is in Sydney, so the lights shouldn't be out at this time. Even though it might be midnight, they should be on. Then I turn. And guess who is standing just ahead of the car? Our favorite black-eyed man. No need to say that this woman sped home as fast as she could, probably breaking 5 road laws. She was horrified. How could this entity be from the elevator saying he's going nowhere and then right in front of her on the road while she's driving in the car? How is that even possible coming from the 6th floor to where she is, right? It gets weirder. This story gets even weirder. On the videotapes and on the records, because she wanted to see who this guy was, why he was following her and all this nonsense, there shows no one using the elevator at that time apart from her. So let me repeat that. When she goes back to look at the videotapes, it's just her in the elevator. There's no one else there. How could that happen? How could something physical that she held a conversation with wasn't actually there? That even encountered her in the road right while she was driving. But what we do know is that he never pressed a button. Maybe he was visible, but maybe not fully physical. So we can't maybe press buttons. Again, the black-eyed kid topic is a rather large umbrella for maybe a lot of different entities. We don't know, but there are a lot of encounters. Well, not a lot, but there's a decent amount of encounters of these kinds of people. And even though they have somewhat similar characteristics, they all have their unique story. This next one took place in a public location. And that public location is Starbucks, which is very populated. This woman goes by the name of Missy, and she will never, ever forget the black aura of the stranger at Starbucks. It was a normal cold November day and she stopped to the coffee shop to get a hot cup of tea. Good choice. A lot less sugar at Starbucks than a cup of coffee there. They might be addictive, but man, they will rot your teeth. She ordered her drink and, you know, she was reorganizing her purse where she felt someone just staring at her. We kind of have this sixth sense, people in general, where you can just feel someone staring at you. Even from far away, from like the other side of the room, you just feel those eyes gazing at you. She turned around to give that like, whatever you perv kind of a facial expression, and just assuming that this stranger was staring at her. And the smart aleck remark died in her mouth as she caught sight of him. So this is all happening in her brain. She feels this stranger staring at him. She's ready to give that like, ew, you perv kind of face, right? But as soon as she looks at him, she doesn't have any expression other than fear in her face. Missy remembers, quote, "I did not see anything unusual in his manner of dress. It was the eyes and the aura coming off of him that scared me. The eyes, blacker than black, no white at all, wall to wall, black. I just felt darkness around him and evil. I just looked in his eyes. I somehow knew that he just wasn't human, you know, maybe a soul occupying a human body, but this being wasn't human at all." That's a little freaky. That's a bit freaky. How could she tell that this entity wasn't human? She just knew. And this being was in a public place. This being was in a public place with black eyes, and no one else said anything about this guy except her and her mind. But maybe other people saw it but didn't say anything. Not human. This phrase comes up again and again out of all of these kinds of encounters. It's not just a fear or uneasiness they get from someone who appears might be violent or crazy or just plain creepy. We've all come across people like that, that are violent, crazy, or just plain creepy. But to have that profound sense that someone is not human, that's something entirely different. That's something entirely different. These encounters are just by everyday people. But when we hear supernatural encounters from those in the military or in high status, they hold a different validity that regular people just don't have. This next encounter was in 2009 in North Carolina by a Marine. The reason to why we hold so much validity to people in the military is because they go through intense training. They go through intense training to be able to have that sense of fear, right? Or endangerment. Also to have to be tested on what they see, to be able to categorize it while they're on the field at war. That's a big reason to why we hold them with the higher status. This man doesn't have a name, so we're going to call him Greg. He's stationed in North Carolina, November of 2009. He's staying at one of those military dorms on the weekend, right? So there's no one there in the dorm. Everyone's out. They're either sleeping, drinking, or home for the weekend. It's Saturday night again. No one is there. But he hears this knock on the door and he thinks, just my roommate, he probably forgot the key again. But when he opens the door, it's not his roommate. It's these two kids who say, it's really cold outside. Can I come inside and read? What? He says, he's never encountered children that want to come inside a stranger's house on a military base, especially to read. His gut feeling said to slam the door. And he says during Marine testing that if you trust your gut feeling, it could save your life. But in this case, he went against his instincts and let the door open and had a somewhat conversation with these kids. At first, he didn't notice them being anything different until he looks straight into their eyes. What color are their eyes? Black. What do they say? Can you please let us in so we can read because we're very cold? There's the question. There's the vampire trait. Please let us in because they cannot enter without this man's permission. Oh, this man, Greg, he was scared. He was scared. He was thinking, I want to shut this door so badly. He said, I got the feeling like I was being hunted, like these kids were predators and out for their next meal or something. Instincts gave way to reason. I decided to listen to that voice and shut the door and lock it. So the second time around, he listened to his gut feeling. He shut the door. He locked it as fast as he could because these kids, they were scary. Even though he locked the door, even though he told these kids no, there was a constant knocking for 5 minutes. When the knocking stopped, they started rattling on the windows, and then they were just gone. They just disappeared. The next morning, he walks up to the officer on duty and asked if any children came or if he saw anything kind of weird or different. And the officer on duty said, sir, you probably just had too much to drink. The weird thing was, Greg didn't drink that night. He was completely sober, but he saw these entities that no one else did, and it was not caught on the video surveillance. The biggest question is, what were these black-eyed kids doing on a military base? Sure, I can get maybe a car in a parking lot or maybe someone's house in a nice location, but on a military base, that's heavily guarded. Why would they be there? Out of all the locations that they could have been, how do these black-eyed kids or black-eyed adults find the locations that they want to prey on? What do they look for? What are they trying to find exactly? What are they trying to find? These next story is about a black-eyed kid as well. Not an adult, but just a child. This one took place in 2008. And there was this 12-year-old boy that was sitting in an old Chevy waiting for his mom at the hairdresser's. And he was just sitting, you know, probably really bored, waiting for his mom just to finish up her hair so they can go home and he can probably play video games. But then he sees this boy walking down the sidewalk. And this town that he's living in isn't very big. So he's thinking, I probably know this boy. Let me knock on the window, the car window, to maybe get his attention and say hi to one of my friends. But when he begins to knock on the window, the boy on the sidewalk turns his head. And the 12-year-old that's in the Chevy does not recognize him at all. The 12-year-old looks back at his lap, and when he turns back to the window, the younger kid is right in front of the window car. And when he looks at him, his eyes are completely black, no white at all. This boy outside of the window begins to knock on the window to get this 12-year-old boy's attention. And he whispers, you must let me in. The 12-year-old, mortified. He locks the door and he ducks down under the seat. He does not want to see this black-eyed kid, but the black-eyed kid keeps knocking on the window, saying, "Please let me in." I would not. I would not let this black-eyed child in. When the mom comes out of the hairdresser and goes back into the old Chevy, she talks to her son and says, "You know, it's so weird. This little boy entered the hairdresser. His eyes were completely black, and he asked me to give him the keys to my car." Luckily, the mom did not give the keys to this black-eyed kid, right? She refused, and thank God that she did. There are a few other stories of beings, right, when people allow black-eyed children to enter. And I'll just briefly go over one of them where the ones that have survived where a black-eyed kid enters their house, somehow they get these awful diseases soon after these children leave their house. Extreme nosebleeds, sometimes bizarre types of cancer, such as skin cancer, and they don't live incredibly long soon after. Now, there are very, very, very few accounts of where black-eyed kids leave the house and the people are still alive. But the ones that are alive, they get these weird diseases and incredibly bloody noses. This last story happens on Halloween. Halloween is one of the coolest holidays, but when it comes to the black-eyed kids, probably not the best. Probably not the best. So one Halloween, George walks up to his neighbor and says, "Hey, you know, you have decorations and lights up every single year for Halloween. Why aren't they up this year? You know, Halloween's just in a few days." And the neighbor looks at George and says, "I had one of the worst experiences last Halloween. Let me tell you the story." So he goes and explains the story to George. And he says, "You know, I love giving out candy to kids. I like, you know, scaring them and having them dress up. But it usually closes down at around 10 p.m. at the latest." So as soon as 10 p.m. closed off, the neighbor goes back into watching TV and then to go to sleep. But at 11:30, the doorbell rings and the neighbor thinks, "Well, that's kind of rude that these kids are coming up so late." But then he remembers, "Oh, my lights are up. I guess it's still a fair game that these boys can come and get candy because I didn't shut off my lights." So when he comes to open the door, he says, "Boo," you know, like what adults usually do on Halloween to children before giving them candy. But as soon as he does that, fear just washes over him. He sees two kids, one 12 and maybe the other one being about 16 years old. Neither of them were dressed and were completely emotionless. He thought maybe it was a costume at first, but these boys didn't drop out of character. So the neighbor kind of tried to smile and be like, "Oh, ha ha ha, like you can drop the act, just pick out your candy." But these boys didn't want candy and they never smiled. And of course, their eyes were black. But the neighbor thought, "Those are some pretty cool contacts. Like, that's not bad." Except it gets a lot freakier than that. These boys didn't say trick or treat. They weren't excited for the candy at all. But instead, they asked to enter the house and to use their phone and says, "Oh, our mom is probably very worried about us because we're so late. Can we please come inside and use your phone?" This neighbor was very smart. He trusted his gut feeling and said, No. Oh, he's actually, he was very scared. And he says, oh, no, no, sorry, sorry. Good night, you know, I can't let you in. But these boys were not taking no for an answer. They kept asking and asking until the man closed the door completely. He then goes back to watch TV, but puts the volume really, really low to be able to hear these boys to make sure that they don't break any windows, try to steal anything, because this neighbor didn't know anything about the Black Eyed Kids yet. He didn't know anything about it. So he just thought that these boys were hoodlums. But nothing of the sort happened. Instead, they were just wearing their normal clothing. They were wearing jeans and a hoodie, but that was it. So that was a big kind of like confusion for this neighbor to saying, well, they're not saying trick or treat. They're not really wearing a costume except for having these black contacts. And they just keep asking to borrow my phone, but I'm not going to let these boys in. So they kept knocking and knocking on the door, but then they eventually left. To this day, this neighbor was horrified and decided to not do Halloween this year or all the upcoming years. So when he's telling the story to George, he thought it was probably just some kind of joke or some really amazing costume, saying, oh, it must have been the Black Eyed Kids. You should probably look them up online and see what stories you get out of it. So the neighbor runs back home, begins to do his research. An hour later, he knocks on George's door and says, it was the Black Eyed Kids. I swear that's what I saw. It does kind of contradict the second story I said of the possibility that maybe we're able to invite these entities because of the knowledge that we already have of them. In this case, this man did not know anything about the Black Eyed Kids, but that doesn't stop the case that maybe someone that was staying in the house with him that day, if he really did have company, could have had knowledge about these Black Eyed Kids and somehow invited them over. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know I have. I know I have. It was really interesting. There's a bunch of really fascinating topics and stories that we covered today. And it's such a mysterious topic. And again, one of those that really stood out there in the fringe, a lot more that's known to the paranormal mysteries. Remember, you can email me your strange stories and mysteries at the email address in the notes below. Make sure to join me on the panel of special guests on Friday night as we look at what are the best gadgets and gear to use for sky watching, especially during the National UFO event that starts 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern Coast time, which is going to be really exciting. And for those that don't know about the National UFO event, take a look at my channel. It's called Nuno, happening July 17th. I'm so excited for this. So make sure to be prepped on all of your equipment for that day. For all of my social media links and to stay up to date with posts, check out the Beacons page in the link below. As always, a huge shout out for all my wonderful Patreon supporters. I couldn't do this show without your support, truly. Like this microphone, the background, the lighting, it's all because of you guys and everyone that donates to the Super Chats. Thank you so much. Everyone, have an absolute great night. And remember, keep your eyes on the skies.